It's the 8th of July 2015, and it is the 8th episode of the Visual Storyteller podcast. Welcome. Thank you for listening. So sometimes life just plain sucks. It is a real grind to get through. And I mean when things seem very, very, very dark, very bleak. When things are happening in your life that just really, really make you worry, give you anxiety. For instance, for me, it seems to center around money. You know, the business isn't going well. Where am I going to get the money to pay the bills? What's going to happen if I don't pay the bills? And then personally, my mind, oh my goodness, I'm a creative, so I can come up with some scenarios in my head, believe you me. My head just runs away with me, and the world just seems a very hostile, horrible place to be. And I feel very claustrophobic. I get very anxious and I worry a lot. And my quality of life just disintegrates into nothing. It is dreadful. And let's just talk about business for a second, because if the business isn't doing well, if you're not making the money that you need to even pay your bills, that can be a horrible place. And again, I know this from experience. I really, really, really do. I've had terrible, terrible times financially, and I've come through it. And that's not to say that everything now is perfect. Far from it. My goodness, my business is far from perfect, which is the number one reason, by the way, you should not be listening to me for business advice. You should be, well, actually, what you should do is listen to what I have to say and then do the complete opposite, because if you do what I've done, you're going to end up in the same financial predicaments and business predicaments that I've ended up in. I'm not talking from a position of strength here. I'm not talking from a position of two Ferraris out in the drive. I'm not talking from a position of having just come back from a month's holiday in the Caribbean. I have not had a proper holiday, and nor have I been able to give my family a proper holiday for many, 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 many years now. So that's where I'm at. But I've had it worse. Believe me, I have had it much, 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 much worse. And I've had it worse demonstrably worse in terms of numbers. I could give you numbers that would show that I've been worse off. But I've also been worse off mentally in my mind and how I've stood and faced up to the predicament I'm in. And I know as a creative, the worst thing is that if you don't have a sense of stability, or don't have a sense that you'll be able to feed the family, that you'll be able to pay the mortgage, that you'll be able to put petrol in the car, that is a real hindrance to doing your best creative work. And a real hindrance to actually running your business properly, because you start making decisions based on scarcity. You start making decisions based on, I really need the money. So in my case, I've taken work that hasn't paid enough, that hasn't recognized my skills enough, that I've had to sort of siphon myself away in the client-supplier relationship and put up with some crap. And that's not a good place to be doing business from, is it, really? So as creatives, I mean, what can we do? I have no answers, but what I can tell you are a number of things that I've done to get through some tough times. And some of them have been things that I've been able to do myself, and some of them have been things that people have helped me with. So my great friend, Paul Omani, who has really stood by me in times of hardship. But I remember once when I was exceptionally worried about money, and this would have been about a year ago, and I really just was petrified. I couldn't function properly almost, because it was constantly on my mind, where's the next paycheck going to come from? How are we going to pay for things? And he gave me a piece of advice, which at the time seemed like the most pointless piece of advice that I've ever heard anybody give anybody who is going through financial difficulties, or any difficulties of any kind for that matter. And it was this: keep breathing. That's what he said, keep breathing. I mean, what kind of advice is that to give somebody who can barely breathe out of anxiety? Keep breathing. What kind of nonsense advice is that? Well, actually, it's pretty good advice, to be honest with you, because if you keep breathing, if you keep going, then you will get through this. You will be able to tackle whatever it is you're facing at the moment. You will be able to get through it. It's just that you don't see how at the moment, and your mind is playing games and mind tricks. And because you're a creative, you're coming up with the worst case scenario. And because you're taking that as gospel, you're believing the worst case scenario will happen. So you're starting to act based on that. And that then has a knock-on effect for all kinds of other things in your life and all kinds of things. I'm trying to say that it has a knock-on effect for how you view other things in your life as well. So that's not good. And we'll deal with that in a second. That's just your lizard brain kind of just taking over this fight, flight or freeze kind of response. So breathing is important. And if you keep breathing and keep living and keep breathing, you will get through it. Now, this is not breathing as in doing breathing exercises. This really is keep going. Now, another way of saying this is something that I came across with my mentor, my current, it sounds as if I've had a ton of them and that he's the one I have at the moment is on his way out. As none of this is true. This is the first paid mentor I've ever had. And he is definitely not, Carl, if you're listening, don't worry. He's definitely not on the way out. He's proving to be just wonderful, wonderful. But he came up with this quote, and I may have mentioned it before somewhere in a previous podcast, but he came up with a quote that he heard from somebody else. And it roughly goes that your capacity to deal with whatever life throws at you is, as of this moment, as of the moment you are listening to this podcast, 100%. That's quite a powerful thought when you think about it. Whatever you've gone through in the past, you have survived. Whatever troubles you've known, you've survived. Whatever worries, however big they were, whatever anxieties you have had, if you're listening to this now, you've overcome them. And that goes for a lot of people. Now, I'm not saying that's for every single circumstance. Please don't get me wrong. But for a lot of us listening to this, our capacity to deal with what life throws at us is, as of this moment, 100% based on historical performance. So that's one thing. That was sort of what Paul was saying. And yes, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. And it's not necessarily going to pass easily, but you will get to next week, you will get to next month, next year. And maybe when you look back, you'll go, oh, had I known what I know now, that would have been different for me. That experience would have been different for me, and I would have done things differently, and I wouldn't have worried so much. I wouldn't have had the anxiety. If I try and sketch to you the anxiety I had a year ago, it was crushing on my chest and on my throat. I could barely breathe. And yet, a year later, I'm still standing. And so will you. Another way to look at it is, you remember the film The Dead Poets Society? Now, I say, do you remember the film The Dead Poets Society? There will be people listening to this podcast going, never heard of it, no idea. This film was made before I was born. I don't know. Anyway, The Dead Poets Society, Robin Williams film. And in it, he has his classroom. He plays a teacher. He has his classroom stand up on their desks. And of course, the exercise is this. They sit at their desks day in, day out. It could be not be more familiar to them. It is such a familiar surrounding to them because they sit at the same desk every single day for a whole term. How could they possibly see the world in that desk in any other way? Well, he gets them to stand on their desks, and suddenly the classroom reveals itself to be very different because of their change in perspective. And that's a good thing to be able to do, isn't it? To mentally teach ourselves to change our perspective. Another great example comes from another film, a favorite film of mine, Apollo 13, where just after the famous words or infamous words, Houston, we have a problem, are uttered by one of the astronauts, they're suddenly listing all these things that are going wrong on this spaceship. And it is a list as long as your arm. It's just alarms are going off. This is happening. That's gone wrong. They've lost this. They've lost that. And at mission control, in the film, the mission controller, who is played by, I forget his name now. I'm not going to try. It'll pop into my head in a minute. He actually flips it round and he says, okay, what have we got on the ship that still works? And immediately you're changing the perspective. So if you're able to, in a situation where you're full of anxiety, full of worry, and you're focusing on things that are going wrong, if you can, and you do sometimes need to create a little bit of distance from the situation you're in, and just create a little bit of calm around you and a bit of serenity, maybe get a piece of paper and just run through the things that are okay or are good or are very good in your life, so that you're channeling that and using that. And I do apologize, by the way, if you can hear the creaky floorboards, I'm actually standing as I podcast today, because I think standing gives me, I don't know, I think it allows me to breathe better. A different perspective. There you go. A different perspective on recording a podcast, standing. So it opens up my body. Anyway, what was I going to say? If you have the ability to take a step back, go to a calm place, to get some paper out, start writing about the brilliant things that are happening in your life, the good things, then you're changing your perspective. Then suddenly you're taking the good things, and we all do have good things in our lives. Our kids, for instance, are a source of massive enjoyment for many of us. It's only for me. My daughter is just, I think, spectacular and wonderful. She's also annoying and we fight constantly. But she's also fantastic and brilliant and warm and loving, and I could go on. So you can already tell just by the words, by the language, that if I talk about my daughter in a certain way and then take how I feel about that and transpose it onto the rest of my life, it's going to have a very different impact on how I feel and see things. And what I'm learning, what I'm trying to teach myself is, yes, money is tight. Yes, I don't know where the next assignment's going to come from. However, I need to recognize that's the situation. I can also, by the way, recognize, just for me, I'm just talking about me now. I've created this situation. I'm in this situation because of things that I have or have not done. So therefore, and I find that a very powerful thing as well. So therefore, I can actually do something about it. Because if I say, well, I'm in this situation because of what somebody else has done or the economy or this or that, that may all be true. But then I'm also giving away an element of being able to do something about it. Because if they've created the situation, then really the only people who can sort the situation out are them, you know. Whereas if I say, OK, I'm in this situation because of decisions I've made, then it empowers me to make other decisions to sort out the problem. But look, I've kind of gone off on a slight tangent there. So if I look at the situation and you know, money's tight, I'm learning to look at that in a slightly different way, acknowledge the situation, but not let it affect me the way it used to affect me. And that's the main thing that Carl is working on with me at the moment. And I find that very useful to understand how my body works, how the chemistry in my body works, and how I can start to control my reaction to certain negative things in my life. And also that I can, and this is something my wife tells me all the time, she keeps telling me, well, look at the things you do have. You've got your health. I'm in a very fortunate situation. I'm in a really good place with my wife and my daughter. And those are wonderful things. And then if I look at my life, if I were to write down my life, my daily life, what I did, and if I were just to look at that in 15 years' time and not really know the circumstances, but if I were to look back and I'd read all the freedom, you know, I have the freedom to go running, the freedom to, what did I do today? I did writing today, which I really love for a client. I did a cartoon. I'm doing this podcast. These are all really great things. So when you're in that situation, and believe me, I really understand the worry and the anxiety that can come when business isn't going great. I really do. And you're struggling to figure out how to progress things. And, you know, have you made a wrong decision? Is this really going to work? Yes, of course it's going to work. Because you can make it work. You can find a way to make it work. You just need a little bit of re-energizing by finding some positives in your life and drawing on that, not drawing on the negative, but drawing on the positive if you can, and using that to enthuse you again. That's one of the reasons, by the way, that I'm doing a daily podcast and doing a daily cartoon. I feel I'm moving forward. I feel I'm doing something. I'm creating. I don't always want to create, but it helps. I've gone hugely long today. I hope you don't mind, but I just wanted to touch upon changing your perspective and how that might help you feel better, lift the anxiety, lift the worries. And also with that lifting of the worries and the anxiety, give you a little bit of clarity in your mind so that you can see a way forward, so that you can see a way to taking the decisions that you need to take and feeling confident about taking those decisions and moving your business forward or moving forward with whatever other issues you might be facing. Thanks for listening. I do hope you'll listen again tomorrow. Well, it's Wednesday, and in England, when I was running a lot, I got into the habit of running on Wednesdays at Twickenham Rowing Club with a very good friend of mine. And afterwards, we'd have a couple of beers because the barman at Twickenham Rowing Club was a really good guy. He would bring in Belgian beers and Czech beers. So we'd have a midweek drink, and it's kind of a habit that I got into again. So you join us as I'm drinking whiskey, and the very fact that that sound is going to set some of you off, I know, on a rant about whiskey and ice. Anyway, this is whiskey actually that a friend of mine is making. And I did some photography for him, and he gave me a bottle of it. And I have to say, I'm really enjoying it. I've got a bit of a theme going because the very last job that I did was for a small company that's distilling its own gin now. And I'm really looking forward to tasting that. So there we go. Not possibly the healthiest thing for us to be doing in the health part of the podcast, but did want to say something about diet and about nutrition and that sort of thing. And I want it to be about the naughty things that we're not supposed to do. Let me just put this down, because otherwise these ice cubes are going to drive you nuts. I had some ice cream as well tonight. So boy, have I been sinning. And this is off the back of me eating kale salads and really enjoying it. Really enjoying some of the salads I've been eating and some of the food that my wife has been cooking. Some really healthy stuff. Really enjoying it. And I eat a lot of muesli, that sort of stuff. But I can't see myself, although I'm getting very interested in the movement of raw foods and eating more plants and that sort of thing. I am too much of a foodie to forgo all kinds of cooked foods and all kinds of foods that would really, on the face of it, not qualify to be eaten by somebody who is training for a marathon and who will be training for a triathlon. However, I think life is too short not to enjoy some of the fantastic cooking and culinary delights. So what I wanted to just say, just in the hidden part of the podcast today, was, yeah, I'm running more than I've ever done. No, that's not true. That's a load of nonsense. I'm running more than I have in a long time. And I can hear my 31-year-old, 32-year-old self back in 2000 shouting at me now, going, "You're talking nonsense, man." But I'm training a lot. And I'm putting my body through a lot at the moment, and I'm enjoying that experience. I'm enjoying actually the long runs and the pain and the feeling my body hard at work. I'm actually really enjoying that. But while I'm very interested in good food and nutritious food, and I'm more and more interested in where food comes from, what it does to our bodies, I'm not somebody who will say, right, I'm not going to treat myself to an ice cream. I'm going to stop drinking red wine and spirits. I think there's a way where we can still do that. Anyway, I've gone super long on this podcast. If you're still listening, my God, thank you. I'll talk to you again tomorrow.